What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Faith. What is it? What does it do? And what does union with Christ mean? Faith. What is it? What does it do? And what does union with Christ mean? Those headings are from the book that Colin Smith wrote. And while I've took the headings, I'm going to put my own slant on things, because something happened on Thursday night that on the news. Faith is everything that the Christian church teaches, and everything we teach here at SVC is controversial. Everything. Jesus is God and man, that's controversial. God, we've just sang it, the Apostles' Creed, that's controversial. That God is three in one forever. Even within the umbrella of Christianity, that is disputed. Different versions of the Trinity have been available for people to believe throughout Christian history. And faith, what we're going to look at today, is controversial. And when we get to what faith does and union with Christ, we'll see that it's quite a serious topic. Yes, we've sang some fantastic songs. Yes, we're going to be looking at Jesus. But unfortunately, because of the world we live in, what the Bible teaches about faith divides the Christian church. But what is faith? What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. It says, I have nothing good in myself to bring to God. The only thing I can do is trust in Jesus. Faith is the empty hand. Or as the old hymn said, one of the first hymns that really touched me after I became a Christian. I knew hymns. Even though I went to a state school, we still sang them. But it really touched me in the summer of 2002. I went to the Christian Words Bookshop. Do you remember that? Opposite Wallgate. I think it was Spring Harvest 2002. And a version of this hymn was in. Rock of Ages clashed for me. And that defines faith beautifully. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress, helpless look to you for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. It's that desperation almost. Not of despair, but of despair in ourselves, but trusting in him. Yes, I'm foul, but you can clean me. Yes, I've got nothing, but you've got everything. I can't bring anything to you, God. Please save me through Jesus Christ. And that, both of those things are just as important. It's a forsaking of ourselves and a trusting in him. Traditionally, the Reformed churches broke faith down into three things: knowledge, assent, and embrace. Knowledge. So, and by knowledge, it doesn't mean like what we mean in a scientific sense or a mathematical sense. It means you know the claims of the Christian faith. You read John 3:16. You hear a preacher. You read the Bible. You know a hymn. You have a conversation with somebody over coffee and they tell you Jesus died for your sins. Knowing that is the start of it all. That's why it's so important for the church to share the good news. How will they believe on him they have not heard of? Isaiah asks and Paul asks. It breaks my heart. Whatever's going on in the sports hall next, door. It's Morris dancing today. It was karate last week. Black eyes and blood everywhere as I walk past. There's the antiques fair once a month. There's dog shows. There's all sorts. And just a few feet away, we're proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And they don't know. And then two things, I suppose, from our end. Assent and embrace. Assent. You hear the truth of the gospel and you say, yes. Yes, I believe them. I believe them. But faith is more than just believing. James says that in James 2. The demons believe and they shudder. You believe God is one? Good for you. The demons believe and they shudder. This brings us to the third part, embrace. We embrace Christ. We hear the good news of Jesus. We assent to the good news of Jesus. And then we embrace him. And yield to him. It's head and heart. It's knowledge and love. And our one group of Christians, the Puritans, defined faith as this. Faith is a saving grace. It's a saving grace. It's something God does in us. It's a work. Faith, if you have faith, it's because God gave it to you. God opened your heart like he did Lydia in Acts 16. And caused you to understand the word and receive it. Faith is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel. All of that is so important. It's the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I gave you a copy years ago. Every word of that sentence is full of truth for the head and for the heart. It's a saving grace. It's something we don't deserve. You don't deserve to have faith in Jesus Christ. Neither do I. We receive him. And rest upon him. So we don't just receive him once. We rest on him for the rest of our lives. Every day of our life. You need Jesus now more than you did the day you came to him. Even if the day you came to him was yesterday. Because we've sinned against light. We've not sinned in ignorance. We've sinned against coming to church every week hearing the good news. And that should make us cling to him even more. And see how wonderful he is even more. How gracious and kind and forgiving and merciful and wonderful and glorious he is even more than we did. For salvation. As he's offered to us in the gospel. As he's offered in the gospel. Not how he's offered to you in TV programs. Not how he's offered to you on certain Christian channels. Not how he's offered to you in other forms of Christianity. As he's offered in the gospel. The true gospel of Jesus Christ. That you have nothing and he has everything and you should receive him. And that's the only way you're made right with God. It's not Christ and a bit of you. It's not Christ and the church. It's not Christ and your faithfulness. It's Christ and Christ alone. And I was going to leave this till the end. I may repeat it. It's worth repeating. But that is how we stand righteous before God. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And to quote the beautiful Church of England, when it was beautiful, it still is. Jack's in it, how could it not be? So are we. How are we made right before God? We call it justification. And it says this, we are accounted righteous before God only for the merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by faith. Only for the merit of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by faith. and not of our own doings or works or deservings. That's what faith is. Faith isn't a work. God doesn't look at you and say, well, they've had faith, I'll justify them. Faith is empty-handedness and saying, I've got nothing. I've said it, and I'll probably say it again and again through this, but we need to grasp it. We need to believe in it. And we need to rejoice in it. Because sometimes people think, oh, am I that rubbish? Yeah, but look how amazing God is. And look how it liberates you. You don't have to earn God's favor. A monk tried to do that. And his name was Martin Luther. And he started the Reformation. Trust and obey. He started the Protestant Reformation that said we're justified by faith and by faith alone. Leo the 14th does not believe that. The Pope does not believe that. That was the separation point. Rome teaches that we are justified by grace, through faith, and our merit that we accrue by God's grace through the sacraments and through the church. We wish Pope Leo nothing but good and wellness. I believe in religious liberty and whatnot. But this was how a person's made right with God. Luther regarded it, and so do I. It's the article on which the church stands or falls. Now, I'm not saying anything, people, you know, I read Catholic writers. Many of them love Jesus. But we're talking about statements of what churches believe. We must hold fast to this. Because I think, obviously, our position honors Christ more. Our position is scriptural. We'll come to the debated passage in a minute. But faith is an empty-handed promise, an empty-handed pleading with God to receive his promises, and as a result, we are righteous in God's sight. We are justified by faith. Or as J.I. Packer and J.C. Ryle said, justification is someone who can't use their arms, just opening the mouth to be fed. That's all it is. Someone provides the food, somebody gives it to you. You have to receive it, but it's not your works that receive it. You just have to open your mouth. Or as Ryle says, it's the eye of the soul. It looks to Christ. It's the mouth of the soul. It feeds on Christ. It's the hand of the soul. It receives Christ. As only Ryle could. What is faith? That's it. It's a saving grace by which we receive and rest on Jesus. And Jesus alone. But what does it do? What does it do? Well, first of all, faith clings to Jesus. Faith clings to Jesus. Because only Jesus can save. And again, as Simone said, it's not our faith clinging to him that saves us, it's him that saves us. Like a man falling off a cliff, he grabs a branch and he saves himself from death. It's not him grabbing the branch that saves himself, it's the fact that the branch was there and he could cling to it. It's the branch that did the work. But you cling to that for dear life. Somebody's drowning, somebody throws the life rink, nobody would say, oh, he saved himself by clinging to the life rink. No, the life rink thrown to him saved him. But clinging is very real. Indeed, it's a form of holy desperation. There's a hymn, Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus is my life. It's that holy clinging to him. Psalm 63 says it. My soul clings to you. Your right hand sustains me. Not the clinging of a slave to a master, it's the clinging of a child to a loving father. Knowing that we're safe. Knowing that he protects us. Knowing that he provides for us. Knowing that he loves us and treasures us. Which leads us to the second thing that faith does. Faith loves Jesus. A faith in Jesus Christ will lead to a love for Jesus Christ. How could we not? I believe in the forgiveness of sins. As we've said, your sins are all forgiven. How could we not love the Savior who bought that for us? Now imagine if somebody paid your debts off. Imagine if someone, the day you took your mortgage out, came along and said, hey, you know what, I'll pay it off for you. Every year you'd buy them a meal or a nice drink or something, or a bunch of flowers. How much more should we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Even the sins we're going to commit tomorrow, he's forgiven us of, because of the worth of who he is and what he's done. He's forgiven us. How can we not love him and hate what's opposite to him? And that love for Jesus grows. Again, I said, we need Jesus more now than we did before. The more we get to know him, the more we trust him, the more we love him. Which leads us to want to get to know him even more. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. You know, the passion behind the heart of that chorus. And we've all been in that mood, that feeling when we're close to him, and we just sing that from the heart, and we feel our hearts beat. Not every time, because we're sinful, but there's been those moments when we've said, oh, I just want to know you more. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, the old hymn says. I'm not content with the love that I have for you, because I know you so much more than I can give. Give me more love for you, O Lord. The third thing that faith does, is obeys Jesus. Faith, a true faith in Jesus, will obey Jesus. Now, we have to go back to the controversy, and I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but we have to deal with this stuff. Because this chapter of the Bible causes people problems. Indeed, I've had to deal with this topic before. If you were to go away and read James 2 tonight, you would read a verse that says this. So you see that Abraham was justified by works and not by faith alone. And then you might think, that idiot preacher at the Sports Village Church, he told me it was by faith alone. And the Bible says it's not. Well, I know that James 2:28 says that. And what James and Paul, first of all, are answering different questions. When Paul talks about being justified by faith and not by works, he's answering the question, how are we made right with God? So that's by faith alone. The question James is answering is not that question. James says in chapter 2, will a faith that is without works save somebody? No. No, it won't. It's answering two different questions. When James says that, That's what James says. He says, you believe God is one, good for you. The demons believe that and shudder. You acknowledge Jesus is Lord, good. Satan does that too. But a true faith in Jesus, out of love for Jesus, will obey Jesus. It won't be easy. He said that. He made that painfully clear. Jesus will never get done for false advertising. You know, he said, didn't he? Crowds follow him, and he turns around and he says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It's not an easy ride you're coming on. Unfortunately, the church tries to do everything it can not to put people off. And that's from a good place. And yes, we shouldn't be obnoxious and offensive and go out trying to upset people. But Jesus had no problem telling people who were interested that this would cost them if they followed him. Leonard Ravenhill used to say, if you come to Jesus tonight, I promise you two things, eternal life and a cross. Because we deny ourselves. We obey the Lord Jesus Christ. His yoke, but thankfully, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He gives us his commands as a gracious Savior. And he gives us the Spirit, which we talked about, to give us the power to live that faith. It obeys the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, how could it not? He died for us. Isaac Watts says, it loves so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. He gave his life and he wants ours. Jesus doesn't do things by halves. But a true faith in Jesus Christ will produce obedience, good works, and holy character. It cannot but be that way. And that's why John Calvin, the second generation Protestant reformer, said, we're justified by faith alone, but faith that justifies is never alone. That's how you get Romans 3 and James 2 together. Again, the Pope would say, yes, we're saved by faith, but not by faith alone. They act as if James and Paul, they would say, no, I'm not being kind there, they would say that James and Paul are answering the same question. But they're not. And a true faith in Jesus, finally, serves Jesus. Serves Jesus. You serve Jesus today by being here. Lovely that, isn't it? And do you know how you serve him? Did you greet some people here today? Yes, you did. Did you welcome them and love them and share? You may have shared, you may have been really self-sacrificial and shared some of your biscuit with them. You may have given them a drink. Well, do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He who gives a drink in my name will not lose his reward. And he said in Matthew 25, what you did for the least of what you did for the least of my brothers, you did for me. So you serve Jesus in the church by serving the people sat at the table with you. Because when you serve them, you serve Christ. Because Christ is in them. They're one with him. And he is theirs, and they are his. You are his, and he is yours. And you know what? You're theirs, and they're yours as well. We serve Christ in the church by serving each other. He's made it, again, in some ways, he's made it so hard by telling us bluntly that we'll have to deny ourselves, that we'll have to live a life of self-sacrifice. But in a way, He's made it so easy. You know? Anyone can give a glass of water, but you get rewarded for it. Staggers my mind every time I read the Sermon on the Mount that he says, if you pray, you'll get rewarded for it. You know, he says, people who pray and make a big show of it, they've lost their reward. Means that if you pray and pray faithfully and sincerely, you'll get rewarded for it. Such is his grace and his kindness. So a true faith clings to Jesus, loves Jesus, obeys Jesus, and serves Jesus in his people. How does it save? And this is a precious, precious truth. And this is worthy of a whole sermon in itself. I did one in 2020. Should do one again sometime. Union with Christ. Union with Christ. How do we get everything we've just talked about? We rest in Christ for salvation. And we get it by faith, but because we're united to him. The union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are spiritually and mysteriously, yet really and permanently joined to Christ as head and husband. And that is done by the effective call. God calls us. We hear the word. The Spirit uses the word to convict us of sin, to show us the glory of Christ. We come to him, and then we're united to him. It's spiritual, and it's mysterious or mystical, but it's real, and I believe it's permanent. In Christ forever. We're united to Christ. And in that union, we get all of Christ's blessings. That's why we can be justified. Again, suppose a billionaire meets somebody on the street, buys them a meal, and they end up falling in love. And they find out the poor person on the street is in thousands of pounds of debt. And they work in a baby wipes factory like me. And they earn the minimum wage. £1,000 isn't, you're never going to get out of that. On the minimum wage and running a home and raising a family. But this billionaire says, well, it doesn't matter. When we're married, your debt becomes mine and all my wealth becomes yours. £1,000 to me is no problem. So that's our sin and the righteousness of Christ. That's justification. We also receive adoption. J.I. Packer in his book Knowing God says being pardoned by God the judge is a great blessing. Being adopted by God the Father is a greater blessing. And finally, our union with Christ gives us a new heart. So yes, we can say we're in Christ forever, because what does Paul say? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We have a new heart. We have new desires. We have new life, sorry. New motives, new everything. The old's gone. We're new creatures in Christ. And so we have a desire for holiness. Yes, we still carry about the fallen body of flesh. Yes, every day we need to confess our sins. Yes, there's going to be things we struggle with for the rest of our lives. But look to him. Because in looking at him, as the song said, we gaze on him, we're more satisfied. We don't want the things that we used to want. We want him. Because he alone satisfies. He alone justifies. He alone gives us the gift of adoption. He alone sanctifies and gives us the grace to walk in newness of life. It's Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
And it's Christ and Christ alone forever. Because he who began a good work will finish it. And that's why it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. If it was any other, if any of those phrases lost the word alone, it wouldn't be by Christ alone. It would be by me. If it's by grace and good works, it's not by Christ alone. It's by my merit. It's Him. Only Him. Forever Him. It's not, and it, as well, our good works don't save us. Our church attendance doesn't save us. Our Bible reading doesn't save us. Our knowledge of Christ doesn't save us. Even clinging to Him doesn't save us. He and He alone saves us. And He saves us forever. Such is the glory and worth of His person. Such is the majesty and meekness of who He is. Such is the power of the blood of Christ. Such is the righteousness of His life. Such is the power of His resurrection and the glory of His glorification. And He is all yours. Will you receive Him today? Will you embrace Him as your Savior? Will you receive Him and be justified, adopted and sanctified? If you are a Christian and you wonder, I'm struggling with sin. I'm struggling in my conscience. I'm struggling with things that I can't forget. I've let God down. Well, join the club. You're going to let God down tomorrow as well. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And do you remember the day you came to Him? You might not. But remember the day you did, if you did. He's the same then. When you felt all your sins lifted off you, when you felt a spring in your step and a newness of life, He's still that same Savior. And it's still by faith alone. We're saved initially by faith alone, and we stay saved by faith alone. All because of Christ, who He is, and what He's done. Glory to His name. And that's the last alone. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. To God be the glory, and to Him alone forever. Amen.